today is November 8th, we're taping Machalos Asuros. And I want to start with a terminology called the Cheskas Kashrus. There is a chazaka, an assumption of kashrus. You guys are here in YU, you wear yarmulkes, you're studying in Jewish studies. So there's an assumption of the fact that you guys keep kosher, and I can eat in your house, right? Unless something comes to cast doubt on that assumption, right? So on this, I must tell you, there have been different criteria in different times for what is considered that which can cast that doubt. There were tshuvas written in the early part of the 20th century, and interestingly here in New York, on this topic, and they said, okay, ask this question. If the wife goes to the mikveh, then you can assume whatever they have in the house is kosher. That's pretty, I think that could be a little awkward how you ask that question. Others said, if the husband wears dalet kantos under his shirt, then you can assume everything in the house is kosher. You know, they look for different criteria. Why did they just rely on the cheskas kashrus? Because they felt that the chazaka has been weakened to such an extent by just everything we see out in the street here in New York in 1910. Everyone, you know, people are running away from halachic observance. If you want to invite me to your house, I need some more of an assurance than just a chazaka. Chazaka means an assumption. Okay. There is an interesting chiddush that's going on now in the Torah world that you can't use a sefer Torah unless you pass it through a computer to make sure that there are no physical mistakes. Not in the nifsach or an aleph where the line is cut off from the body of the aleph, from the top of the aleph. No, that words are spelled wrong. Right, you guys have some idea about statistics. If the Torahs that have been, thousands of them, have been put through this computer program where you have each column of the Torah is set up on a computer and it'll tell you in 2 seconds which letters are wrong, which letters are wrong. There are over 305,000 letters in the Torah, and it only takes one difference in order to pass the whole Torah. So if I had something where it was 305,000 or something, right? And 305 were mistaken, that's called a 99. That's a pretty good grade, right? But when it comes to a Sefer Torah, only one mistake is enough to make it a problem, right? It's like when I saw it in the bathroom in my shul, it says, this Lysol kills 99.99% of the germs. Right?
Yeah,
that still means 400 million germs.
That's not possible.
Anyway, yes. But.
One other thing is, like, I don't remember where I heard this from, but it was someone I heard this or read from somewhere that over all the different Sefer Torah from all over the world were examined, there was a difference of like 7 or 8 letters that like ever existed, but everything else matched up exactly.
Okay, well, matched up exactly means that's the way it should be.
Right.
What this question is, what percentage, this is from a safer, I just bought on the topic, what percentage of Torahs that have been checked, and there have been thousands of them, what percentage of Torahs that have been checked have been found to have at least one such mistake? Want to take a guess?
Hold on.
And then we'll see whether it's correct or not, that we need to have these phones computer checked before using them. Go ahead, you want to hear it? Take a kid?
Well, but there's also...
What does your statistician mind think? What percentage have been found to have at least one error in it that would require us to now take all our phones and have them computer checked before we use them?
Starting from when?
60.
I'd say 25%.
Actually, 51.
51. This seems to be the one that most of you would probably... It creates an assumption. Assumption that... Or it's a 51, or how about 1%? Anyone. This might be one of those Torahs. Yeah, but you don't have to take yourself through such a great tircha because of this one small possibility. All right, well, when you hit a number, you will fall out of your chair. 89%. of the Torahs that they have checked have been found to have at least one letter. Again, it's not, I'm not talking about the Divsach or some of the ink that they ran or something like that. I'm talking about that that there is an actual letter that's written differently. So what does that have to do with keeping kosher? Is that when I go to your house for Shabbos lunch,
are we talking like the little things on top, or there's like a different letter?
No, it's a different letter. Okay. And you read from these Torahs year after year after year.
So what's the original?
So we have a Masoretic text that by now we work with. But I'll tell you now, Ashkenazim and Sephardim have one major difference, whether you spell Tzuadaka with an Aleph or a Hey. But Rabbi Yosef in the Tshuva says, it doesn't mean an Ashkenazi can't get an Aliyah, the Sephardish, or Shul, and say a Bracha, and vice versa. You can't have two nations over this. Alright, I just want to discuss the question of Ches Kashrus. Is that something is assumed to be kosher, and I assume that I can eat in your house until some kind of race or something comes along that weakens your chazaka. My mind, what would weaken your chazaka is if I come to your house and I see unkosher food in the house. But you know what? It's very interesting. Don't we're not supposed to make assumptions on our own. We're supposed to judge people with kashrus, right? Have you ever heard? Okay.
Yeah.
There's an interesting Gemara in Sefer Shmuel about a butcher that they wanted to run out of town because he had a large side of beef stamped treif that someone saw him take home and chop off and use for a simple example. The butcher is eating treif food, so how can we ever use him? Right? So it's a story of the Gemara. So when the rabbi of the town was told this, it would be a terrible scandal, we'd be eating treif food all this time, he himself eats treif food. How can we rely on him? So the rabbi did something very crucial. This is not just in the realm of kashrus. This is in the realm of whatever we do. The rabbi said, I agree this doesn't look good at all. I agree this is damning. But everybody deserves to face his accuser. If we're going to run him out of town for eating trade food, let's ask him what he was doing. Alright? We need this in front of you in a few moments. We're going to be on page 17. Okay? So this is the excuse he gave. The excuse that Gemara is called an Amaswa. Amaswa. This is the excuse he gave. He said, well, I'm having a wedding for my son, and I wanted a special type of cut of meat for the wedding. So I had my few cows, right? I chopped them up, and I know that when I have them on display, that these are very popular cuts of meat, and when the customer comes in and asks for this cut of meat, if I tell him I don't have it, okay, that's one thing. But if it's out there in the showcase and they see it and I tell them you can't have it because I want it for myself, it makes them feel that they'll start shopping at another person's store. You know what I'm saying? They'll time this to me if I have the meat there and I don't offer it to them. So he says, so put it someplace. I don't have it. I needed to put it there. That's my refrigeration area, and I have to put it in the same display case. So they said, so why did you stamp tray on it? Ben, what excuse might you give? Because that was my way of assuring that they wouldn't ask for it. It's kosher meat. But I put the stamp tray on it. Now they have a purple stamp that they put on the meat that they cut up, that they want to sell to Gentiles because it's trade, they stamp it with such a purple sign. It's kosher, they stamp kosher up and say purple. Right? So that is the when they heard him give that excuse, They accepted it and they let him keep his post. Following? A butcher has a testis kashrus. Testis kashrus is weakened by he's eating straight food, but don't use that as your determination. So you ask him, tell me why. You know, why were you eating straight food? It wasn't straight. That's why they look straight. No, let me tell you why we're straight food. It's an acceptable explanation. I'm not going to be naive to the point of stupidity. But we should always judge people with chatzos, right? There are guidelines. Who is able to be a shliach tzibur for the community? Right? You have guidelines. Yes, and then you see, well, I saw you in such a compromising situation, so how can you be a shliach tzibur for us? Confront him with it. And see if you can answer why you were put in such a position. Okay. Alright, so this is where we stand. Let's turn to page 17. That was on Echeskes Kashrus. Page 17, we're going through Yoredeya. Just see that the topics you have Hilchos Shechita, that's the beginning of Yoredeya, which tells you how to get the animal ready for food. After you do the Shechita, you have to, for fowl and game, you already know that you have to cover the blood. Remember that, please? Okay, only for fowl and game, because its blood does not go on the Mizbeach. So you might have thought, well, since blood is forbidden because it goes on the Mizbeach, blood that doesn't go on the Mizbeach is permitted. No! By the way, that's true, not of blood, but it is true of chayiv, the forbidden fats along the kidney. Right? Okay. Forbidden fats along the kidneys of a deer, or a gazelle, or a moose, or a giraffe, are permitted l'chatchila. But why is the blood of a deer forbidden? Because blood has more than one reason why it's forbidden. Not just because it goes on the Mizbeach, because it's the lifeblood of the animal. That's true whether the blood goes on the Mizbeach, like a sheep, cow, and goat, or whether it doesn't, like a deer, gazelle, right? But chaylev only has one reason why it's forbidden. Because it goes on God's Mizbeach. So if it comes from an animal that doesn't go on God's Mizbeach, I hope you're getting this. Right? So it's permitted to Chatzim. Everybody get a Snickers? Eminem?
It's too early in the morning. It's too early in the morning.
Come on. Okay. That's Kisui Adam. By the way, it's interesting, Ramah. Because Kisui Adam.
Let's say I shepherd a cow, a chicken, right?
When the blood falls to the ground, I'm supposed to cover the blood with dust.
Sure.
Right? But if when I do the shechita, I'm not going to end up eating that chicken because it's trained, or because I messed up the shechita, don't mix up proper words. Trained means one thing when I shepherd an animal. It was sick. It had a broken bone. Its lungs were filled with disease. That's what treif means. If I messed up the shechita, but the animal was perfectly healthy, that's called nevela. Okay? Nevela is if you shoot a healthy animal to death, you kill it any way other than a kosher sheep. It's called nevela. And you're going to say, what difference does it make? Big difference! The Vela is Tomei, the Trefa is not. Okay. Now, since we're all Tomei anyway today, but I'm just saying that in the time of Machmir on Tum and Tara, the Vela makes a person touch that animal Tomei, Trefa is not. Okay, got it? Trefa is an animal that shepherded properly, but upon inspection, it was determined that this animal would have died soon. On its own. Sick. Remember when I told the coach a couple weeks ago, I said he used to take a gorilla to it. To his doctor's appointment, said the shear, which was in this room, by the way, 35, 40 years ago. And I used to take him to his doctor in the lower room in the east side. And one time I asked him, Rebbe, why am I taking you to the doctor? What is it that you have? And he says, I don't know what it's called. He only spoke Yiddish. I don't know what it's called, but if I was a cow, I'd be tricked. It's not sure. So, it's a trait like Tarof Taraf Yosef. It's fixed harsha, the shorish, the bird with the leaf taruf, the feet. The rock needs the pounce.
Is it the sachet, the thing that we shoot? So technically, though, if we're all coming down, probably even a lot of
stuff. Yes, because it's not a lot. Just saying, the talk in the halacha, the Gemara spoke about if you shut an animal improperly, that animal is tummy. If you shut it properly and upon inspection find out that the animal is very sick, it's not tummy. Right? An animal that is killed in any way other than a kosher shita is the victim. Right? Fine? Good? But here's the point of what I want to make. Is that for whatever reason, after you shep this chicken, you're not going to end up eating it, right? Anyone try to venture to finish my statement? If for whatever reason you're not going to end up eating this chicken, after shepping it, you don't have to do kisui yadav. In fact, you shouldn't. Don't make it silly, don't make it rough.
What would you use it for?
No, I'm just saying, the only time you have to do kisui hadam on fowl and game, the animals whose blood does not go on the kisayah, the only time you have to do kisui hadam is if you're going to end up eating this food.
Is it only those in Kaparo?
Someone's going to eat it.
It's not Kaparo, they get it.
I think so. I think that's the whole point. Is that you do steal a straight for Harakothanikon. What you're supposed to do is you do the kapara, you shep it, so that's herring. You throw it on the ground, that's skila. Right? Apparently, maybe when you're holding it by its head, I don't know. Maybe that's the chenek. But of course, you're not killing it, and it would betray it. Or the vein, I should say. And then strafer is when you cook it. So that's it. Certainly, it's supposed to go to someone, but for a poor person. So if it's going to be eaten, whether by you or someone else, you have to do the piece of it now. Okay? Alright? But here's an interesting kicker. What is the debate? This could be a bit, certainly you can make a paper out of this, but it's just a very technical question. What if the thing that's making you not eat it is an issue to our own? I can give you some examples of an issue to Rabban and Mashita, but right? What if the thing that makes you not eat this chicken is an issue to Rabban? Do you see the love of this kasha? Min Torah, I'm supposed to do kisui hadam. According to Torah, I can eat this chicken. You got me, right? But midrabbanan, I'm not eating it. So can the fact that I'm not going to eat this midrabbanan uproot the Torah law of kisui hadam? It's a great question. Again? No? All right, let me give you an example.
There are five psulim in shechita. As I'll say that when Yitzchak told Esav to get him deer meat, he said, "Sudo li soyid." And that's how it's spelled in Torah. An extra head. If you're not prepared with the lady, you might read that Suda Li Tseyda. That's not the word. It's not Soyud. It's Soyud. The hay is not pronounced at all. But that's how it's spelled in the Torah. If the hay is not there, it's apostle Torah. The Suda Li Soyud. So what's the hay doing there? According to the Medrash, it was Yitzhak telling Esav, "Esav, I want you to know, don't. You have to listen to these five rules. First rule is drasa. Can someone take your hand and make me the motion that you do when you shecht? Let's say a chicken's head is right here. A cow's head. It's in a clamp and it's right there. Just give me your hand. Go ahead. Whether you're an Atlanta Braves fan or what? I'm just old enough to remember the chop. The Braves chop. And it says they stopped doing it. You know, the Braves insignia has a picture of some kind of chopping. Pull it up, come on. Go find the Braves, the Atlanta Braves insignia. Alright? So, go ahead, use your hand. What's the motion you do this week?
Well,
Well, come on, here's an animal, go show me the motion.
No, that's absurd. This is absurd shkita. If shkita is done like this, you have made the animal the bit. That. Take shachut l'shamam shepherd, based on the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Shkita is like this. It's a cross like that. Even a cross in zigzag. Okay? Right?
Shield goes
across the neck, not chop down the neck. That's your first psul. It's called drusa. Right? It's not a chop. Okay? You have to cut a windpipe and a food pipe.
That's not really right?
Of a chicken, you only need to cut one of those. Of a cow, sheep, or goat, you need to cut at least 50% of both of them. Right? The animal will be there. You haven't been able to get a picture of the Atlanta Braves all this time?
I do. It's just an egg. Or is it like a hammer?
See, that's a chopper. See?
That's an axe.
I don't know, but it's...
Then the doctor uses it underneath.
Yeah, okay, but that's what it is. Alright? So, I thought they had... There was some kind of, I think, in the 1996 World Series where all the fans were doing it, and then some Indians claimed that it's derogatory to us that they're doing it. So, I don't know, the Redskins, the Indians, don't get me started. Okay, so I think what the football team should do is change their mascot. It shouldn't be a picture of an Indian, it should be a picture of a Redskin potato. If they have a picture of a potato, who's going to mind Redskins? That's the name of a potato. Just put the potato on the side of all the helmets, and who's going to be against that? It's nothing to do with Indians, but you can keep the name. Right? I think that's a brilliant idea. They should do that. And that'll put an end to all of the discussion about what a red skin is proper. It's not talking about it. We're talking about potatoes. Okay, so that's the first one. Second one. Chalot. What animal does that sound like?
Chalada?
Yeah. You hear of a chulda? The name actually. It's not. A chulda is a weasel. A chulda digs underground. Okay? I don't know why someone would do such a thing, but this is one of the souls of shkita. Is that the shkita must, you see, here's the neck of the animal, right? The shkita must start outside the body of the animal and just cut straight through the two pipes, as opposed to putting the knife this way and cutting it out. Who would do such a thing? I mean, you did it by accident, though. But that's what it's called. You go from outside, under, into the animal, not into the animal and then out. Okay? Alright.
Okay? Chulda, also one of those seven prophets.
Yes, and Chulda is the name in the end.
Yeah, is it how it's the...
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah. Okay, three. Chalada is that it has to go from outside the animal through the two pipes. The windpipe and the air and the food pipe. Not vice versa. In, out. By the way, there is one type of shita in the Torah that has to be that way on a bird. Are you familiar with Malika? No? Malak? The shkita of the birds in the Mishkan, in the Beis Hamikdash, is that the Kohen has a very sharp thumb nail. Familiar with this? And he thrusts it to the back of the neck of the bird's head and he pulls out the windpipe and air pipe from inside the neck of the bird out. That's the opposite of what we need to do with shkita. Got it?
I don't know about the anatomy of a cow, but I assume that it has like
and then, I mean, the bird is very easy to cut through some cow.